I've been corrected. Rob and Joan Rolfs reside in Appleton, Wisconsin. Let's hear it for Appleton. All right. Where they own an antique business, Audio Antique. By profession, both are educators. Joan, over here, is a department chair in interior design, and Rob recently retired, a teacher ed instructor, I believe?
Yes, electronics.
Very good. Their interests are in early phonographs and recorded media. They are involved with historical preservation. Making learning fun is one of their objectives. Now, for an interview with the dog of the century, the wonderful, the lovely, the talented, the beautiful, the sexy, Nipper.
Nipper! Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I would like to share with you today some facts about one of the most famous dogs in the world. I'm speaking, of course, of the RCA logo dog, Nipper. As ARS members, I'm sure you're aware that the Nipper logo is found on many of your favorite records. Much research has been done on the history of Nipper, and various versions do exist. But today, I thought we should hear the facts from Nipper himself. Nipper, could you say hello to these fine folks, please?
Well, hello. Hello out there. Tally-ho, tip-tip. Oh, I'm almost speechless. I've heard such many fine things about the good people of ours. In fact, I'd like to take the liberty right now to sing this little song to help get to know everyone. And, of course, this will be with the help of my friends Billy Jones and Ernie Hare.
Okay, sounds great. I bet you'll know this song.
How do you do, everybody? How do you do?
You can sing along.
How do you do, everybody? How are you? We are here, we must confess, just to bring you happiness. Hope we'll please you more or less. How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? How do you do?
Oh, that was great. I don't know, they got a little get with it a little bit, but they said, how do you do? Now, Nipper, could you tell us a bit about yourself? Now, I assume from that accent that perhaps you're an English bull terrier?
Why, yes, I am, Joan. Yes, indeed, a true English bull terrier. Well, I really don't know who my parents are. So I guess over in the colonies here, you would call me somewhat of a mutt. I was born in 1884, and born in Bristol. Mm-hmm. You know, they say that they named me Nipper because I had a tendency to kind of, you know, nip and bite at the back of people's heels and legs, but I meant no harm. Of course, I did like to chase those rats that were rather prevalent in the area. You know, I became good at it. Known as a very expert ratter, and really have a good grip, you know.
Really, not a good grip, Nipper. I've heard about those ratter stories, and I understand you have a story about a camel. And you know what? My good friend Dave Affelter, who is a founding member of the Michigan Antique Phonograph Society, just happens to be here. And you know what he brought? He brought his Edison camel. Come out here, Dave, because we got to tell this camel story, you know. Nipper, would you believe he brought this camel to share with you? And it is a very special camel, ladies and gentlemen. It is from the Edison Caravan Convention. You know how Edison was. He didn't like you as a logo, so then he started looking for other critters. What do you think of this fine example of a camel?
Is that a camel? An ugly Edison camel? Jonah, you're just trying to provoke me, aren't you?
I wouldn't do that, no.
Well, in my early days, when I was living with Mark Barrow, his wife, and those five children, well, they'd always tease me with this toy camel. See, it was mounted on the wheels, and they used it to kind of poke at me and make fun of me with it.
There you go.
Well, this camel was located in Mark's photography studio. Mark was an expert photographer. And one day I just saw my chance. I bided my time, and then I ripped that toy camel to shreds.
Can you imagine?
And now my master found me sitting there surrounded by all these fragments
better
of that nasty
that
camel. But I wasn't repentant for anything. I got rid of that nasty beast. So sorry, Dave. I don't like camels, and I especially don't like those ugly Edison camels. In fact,
Nipper.
I'd have a leg up on it if I had my druthers on, but
Nipper,
I wouldn't do that
Nipper,
now.
Nipper, Nipper. Thank you, Dave. I love your camel. Thank you.
Oh,
thank you, Nipper. Thank you, Nipper. I'm glad you shared those interesting insights with us. Now, how did you happen to become the subject of a dog looking into a phonograph?
Well, as I recall, it was 1884 that I came to live with the Mark Barrow family. Now, as you know, they had those five little children they did. Now, can you imagine being a gift to those little beggars? Well, my master was a very talented man. He was the scene designer at the Princess.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very popular theater in Bristol. And many a time we spent together as he painted the scenes, and I had the peace and quiet away from them five children. Mark was so talented, he'd often be called on stage for a bow. And of course, I'd also come out and help him take credit in supporting Mark's talents in his set designs.
Oh, Nipper. You were such a ham back then. I guess you just knew you were going to be a star. So then it was Mark Barrow who painted your famous portrait of you listening to the phonograph?
No, ma'am. You've got that
wrong. That's a no.
You see, it was 1887 that my master, Mark Henry Barrow, God rest his soul, met his untimely demise. And upon his death, the five children and myself, well, we all moved in with Mark's two brothers, Philip and Francis, and they lived in Liverpool.
Oh, yes, now I remember it was Francis Barrow who painted you in December of 1898. Now, Nipper, you've been so good for me today. How long did you actually have to pose in this position for that famous portrait?
Oh, my, no. As a matter of fact, I've got patience, but not that much patience to pose for some portrait, Joan. See, I never really did pose for that painting.
Never.
You see, that famous portrait of me was painted by Francis, I'd say 3 to 4 years after my own death. You see, I died at age 11. Of course, 11 years, that's 77 to you, Joan. But I never did have the opportunity to listen to a gramophone. I should have liked it, though. You see, it was Philip. He used to photograph me in a studio, just take pictures of me in various positions.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it was amusing the way I kind of listened with my head
caught
to one side like this and my right ear raised. Of course, I was just imagining I'm hearing them rats coming up through the holes.
Oh, Nipper, that's right. You were born in 1884, and yes, I did read that you met your demise in 1895. So Francis, that well-known animal painter, must have painted you from photographs taken by his brother. In fact, I believe it was February 11th, 1899, that Francis registered your portrait as dog looking at and listening to the phonograph. But one thing puzzles me, you never listened to a gramophone?
That's correct, Jill. In fact, my original portrait didn't even contain a gramophone. I believe my likeness was originally painted with a figure of the Edison Bell business machine. You know, that's the kind you would listen to and to record and play back your employer's voice. Well, Francis submitted the work to the Royal Academy in London, England, but it got rejected. Then he tried to sell it to the Edison Bell Company. But as Mr. James B. Hugh of the Edison Bell put it, quote, "Dogs don't listen to phonographs." Well, that was that.
I don't believe it. Dogs don't listen to phonographs? Boy, was that a bad business decision. Well, you must have felt pretty bad being rejected twice. I believe Francis also renamed the painting his master's voice. Sounds like Francis was really discouraged.
Oh, he was downright devastated, he was. Well, perhaps he thought it might have been that depressing black horn that was on that painting. And maybe a nice, bright, shiny brass horn would add some interest to the picture. So he took my portrait to the competitor of the Edison Bell Company, and on May 31st, 1899, Francis went to the Maiden Lane offices of the English Gramophone Company Limited, and of course he was only intending to borrow a beautiful brass horn to paint over that ugly Japan black Edison horn that was in the picture.
Oh, I definitely agree with you. That was indeed an ugly horn in this painting. Now, if I understand you correctly, he only wanted to borrow that shiny horn from the English Gramophone Company. Tell me, how did he get to see the now famous painting of you?
Well, it's this way, Joan. William Barry Owen, he was an employer of Abel Berliner, and he was in charge of establishing the British Gramophone
That's
Company.
That's right.
Now, he was unable to see Mr. Owen, so Francis left a photograph of the portrait, and also a request to borrow that horn.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Owen was quite pleased with what he saw in the photo, and he suggested that the entire phonograph, if it could be done over with a disc gramophone, that he'd offer to purchase it. Now, on October 4th, 1899, the Gramophone Company received the final painting, and Francis received £100 for the painting and the copyrights.
Mm-hmm.
Now the slogan, his master's voice, that went along with the deal. And since that, it's become the world's most valued trademark. And if I might say so myself, it's maybe the most famous and copied dog in the entire world.
Oh yes, Nipper, you are one of the top 10 recognizable trademarks in the world. The public loves you. And in 1939, the RCA company celebrated the 40th birthday of you becoming a trademark. I believe this was one of the first times your voice was ever recorded for the public. In fact, I believe you did a talking commercial for the U-125 radio phonograph. And you know what, Nipper? I just happen to have that demonstration record right here. And I think we should play it for these wonderful folks so they know exactly what you sounded like in 1939. You want to hear that?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it, Nipper.
All right, okay, Joan. Let's see, 1939, 60 years ago.
Yes.
I can hardly believe it was that long ago. I was only 40 years old then, and my voice was considerably younger, and of course, I had a good commercial announcing voice, but enough of that. Let's give that a listen.
Let's give a listen.
Pardon me. My name is Nipper. I'm the famous Victor Dog who's been listening to his master's voice for 40 years. Think of it. I'm 40 years old. And to celebrate, I want to let you in on some wonderful news. Step inside and you'll see the beautiful new 40th anniversary Victrola, model U-125. Brought out in honor of my 40th birthday. If you buy one now, you can get a $40 trade-in allowance on your old machine, regardless of age or make. Ask to have this grand phonograph radio demonstrated. I know you'll be delighted to hear over it the master voices of all music on Victor Records. Radio programs, too, from all over the world. And oh yes, one thing more. I can't tell you how I talk, but if you come inside, you can see. RCA Victor Dog inviting you to step in.
Oh, Nipper, that was great. You sounded perfect. That is definitely a wonderful recording. And then in the 1950s, did you know there was a little Nipper that was loved by all the boys and girls in the world? In fact, I believe you made your singing debut on a recording. Now, let me see. You started singing 11 years after your commercial in 1939. What kind of song did you record?
Well, Joan, I believe as I was kind of entering my second childhood there. It was a little march number, kind of a very catchy tune, if I do say so myself. Well, let's give it a listen in a bit.
Yes, the Little Nipper March. In fact, I think it's now a little time for a break. I think they could do some marching. So, in fact, they might even want to sing along. Let's hear the Little Nipper March.
Okay, this is for all of the ARSC members.
What? Nipper also did riddles. I didn't see too many of you marching, but now let's see how you can do with the riddles. Let's hear the Nipper riddles, you multi-talented dog, you.
Okay, Joan, we'll just have to see how sharp the ARSC members are this morning.
We'll see.
See if they can guess these riddles.
Pretty sharp. Nipper, I understand that in 1990 you adopted a son by the name of Chipper. And every time I watch those TV ads, I just love to watch you and Chipper. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, of course. It was in 1990 that I adopted Chipper. And you know, the RCA company, which is now owned by the Thompson Consumer Electronics Group, They decided they wanted to update their image. So enter the young pup, Chipper. Well, actually, I adopted this young pup, and then I didn't know what to name him. So my employees decided to have a contest to name the little critter. And we decided on Chipper. Well, over 85,000 people had entered that contest, and Chipper was the perfect name. I think he takes after me pretty well. He's got some of my spark, and if I do say so myself, he's got some of my ratter abilities. And also, Dave, he doesn't like Edison Camels either.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, Nipper, you are indeed a lovable character. You have won the hearts of many a collector. You definitely symbolize the music industry. And I might add, you're becoming rather expensive to collect. So I really want to thank you, Nipper, and I want to thank you for the audience, and I want to introduce my Nipper, Robin Rolfs. Questions. Nipper's ready. I was waiting for the coffin question. Remember that? No, he wasn't sitting on a coffin. It's some rumor that started, I think, because of his master's voice. Oliver Berliner confirmed that it was not a true story, and also I have the original article from the Strand magazine in London, England, written by Francis Barrow, and in there he also states it's an untrue statement, and he was the artist who painted it. Well, if not, yes. There's approximately three that are uncounted for. So, with that, Nipper, oh, we got another question. Okay, want to cut the music? Some items that I have up here, I'll start with this. I thought was kind of rare. I've really not seen many of them. It's called kit number 4081, and it is actually the talking demonstration record that they really used. And this Nipper is from the 1940s, and yes, he did have an original speaker in him. However, for today's presentation, we gave him a speaker transplant. The rarest nipper would be this one. He is a glass eye.
Doggone it. Let's hear it one more time. Joan and Rob, thank you very much. Very enjoyable. All right, folks, break time, as some of you have deduced. 15 minutes. I'm going to kind of hold you to that. Go forth and eat.